Canada Day is coming up shortly, right? And our topic today is hope. And I'm sure the founding fathers of our nation were building a nation built on hope. They were hoping for a better land, a better nation. Hope. What comes to mind when you think of this word hope? My mind races back to elementary school and that undying hope that school would be canceled. Or in high school, in science, the exams coming up, and that hope that I would pass. Thankfully, there's a different kind of hope in the Bible. The Bible talks about a certain type of hope, an assurance. Hope is a major theme in Scripture. In fact, the word hope is used 167 times in the NIV, the translation I'll be speaking from today. The Hebrew word for kawa is a verb. It's translated to wait, expect, look for, or hope in. And in Isaiah 40:31, kawa is translated wait for in the NASB and the ESV, but is translated hope in the NIV. As a verb, our hope in the Lord is to be active. It's to be experienced. It is to be a state of being or a condition. It is something that we are to live out in our daily lives. It is not wishful thinking, so unlike a 51% in science. Biblical hope is supported by God's faithfulness in the past, affects our vitality in the present, and gives us confidence for the future. I'll say that again. Biblical hope is supported in God's faithfulness in the past, gives us vitality in the present, and gives us confidence for the future. It rises above the current conditions and circumstances of our lives and sets our hearts on something solid, the rock of Jesus. Hope is what draws us and compels us to move forward with deep and confident assurance. Hope does not disappoint. For it never gives up in its relentless pursuit of a better day, the day when we get to meet Jesus face to face. To that end, we strive. We continue on. Today, we'll discover why we have a confident hope in the Lord that is based on His faithfulness in the past, present, and future. Isaiah 40, verses 25 to 31. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Lord, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I want us to consider the context of Isaiah chapter 40. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah were predominantly doom and gloom. Judah had fallen away from the Lord, and the Lord was about to bring retribution to them. They'd been unfaithful, and Isaiah warned the people to repent or face the coming wrath of the Lord. Isaiah prophesied that Babylon would come and conquer Judah. And indeed, 100 years later, in 586 BC, Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. They hadn't picked up on Isaiah's message. They hadn't repented. As Isaiah transitions into chapter 40, the tone of his writing becomes tender and compassionate. This chapter was written well before the Babylonian exile and is dedicated to comforting the people of Judah and giving them hope for the future. The future hope of chapter 40 is a two-pronged focus, one on the end of the Babylonian exile and one on Christ's coming. First, have you ever had someone speak a word of encouragement to you? It helps you in the moment, doesn't it? It lifts you up. But sometimes people will say a word of encouragement to us, and it might be a day or two later, maybe even a month later, you're going through something, and that word of encouragement means even more. Perhaps you've experienced that. Following Isaiah 40 is somewhat like that. Following Isaiah's ministry, Judah declined over a series of kings yet to come. Almost all of them were evil kings. And eventually, the nation fell to the Babylonians. They were going through dark times. But they clung to the hope of Isaiah 40 that had been written to them 100 years before. And eventually, the people of Judah returned to God. And God granted them favor and a greater sense of freedom, as we've experienced as we've studied through the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Number two, hundreds of years later, John the Baptist quoted Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. This is in response to some questions of the Jewish leaders. In John 1:23, it says, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. See, both Isaiah and John the Baptist were preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to minister on earth. The hope spoken of in Isaiah would be realized 700 years later with the coming of the Messiah. That's a long time to wait in hope, isn't it? We think waiting a day is a long time. 700 years. Later in John chapter 1, verses 29 to 31, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, or behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me will surpass me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed in Israel. Could you imagine being John? There's been 700 years of waiting, and you get to be the person who acknowledges the Lord's coming. It'd be amazing. A few years later, Jesus would die on the cross to take our sins upon himself. Then he rose from the grave, conquering sin, Satan, and death. The hope of Israel was realized, and the prophecies of the coming Messiah were fulfilled. Biblical hope is supported by God's faithfulness in the past, affects our vitality in the present, and gives us confidence for the future. Our first point today is a confident hope from the past. There's evidence, both in Scripture and in our lives. We see the faithfulness of God in the past. Israel experienced God's faithfulness throughout the Old Testament and New Testament as well. We see further evidence of God's faithfulness in our lives, in our lifetime, and in the stories of those around us. God's creative power is further developed in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 and 26. His power is beyond human comprehension or comparison. He created the heavens. He calls the stars by name. This gives us a sense of his personal attention to detail, that even the vast number of stars are named by him. He didn't just do the broad strokes of creation and walk away. He is still intimately involved in his creative work. Hope and despair are easily recognized in one's eyes and in our body language. In verse 26, it begins with, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? The act of lifting our eyes brings hope. You ever notice how when you're talking to someone who is sad or depressed, where are their eyes? They're often looking down, aren't they? And their body posture might be more slumped over. We can see when people are depressed or sad by where their eyes look. and how their body slumps over. But when hope begins to dawn in our hearts, our gaze lifts. We look up more. We look people in the eyes more when we have hope. Our body straightens up more. We can look people in the eye. We can even dare to look upon the heavens and see the majesty of God's creative power. Do you ever take time to go outside at the end of a busy day and just look up at the stars? There's peace and tranquility and a growing sense of wonder that fills our hearts, our minds, our souls as we gaze upon the expanse of stars. Slowly the stresses of life melt away and we're left in the quiet presence of God. There's hope in that. The people of Judah could look back over their storied history and recount the faithfulness of God time and time again. Throughout the years, God raised prophets, judges, and kings to lead his people. The people would obey God for a few years, then they would start to follow foreign gods, right? And they would get to a low spot, and then they would suffer. God would bring suffering upon them because of their disobedience. Then they would repent, and God would restore them. And guess what? They do it all over again. They get confident. They would fall away from the Lord, and the cycle would continue. But God's faithfulness was with the people of Israel all through their history. Have you ever wondered why God moved so powerfully in Scripture? You read of the miracles in Scripture, and you think, man, God, why don't you do stuff like that in my life? Right? I know as a kid, I felt like that. God, why can't you just cancel school tomorrow? And stuff like that. We long to see the miracles that God performs. We sometimes want the miracles of God so much that we miss out on the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is always there, so much so that we become complacent in it. It becomes the expected, dare I even say sometimes the mundane. We want the miracles because it can remove pain and suffering or provide a touchstone moment that we can look back on in times of difficulty and remember God. Wendy and I, we experienced a miracle of God a number of years ago. So back in the 1990s, we were just married, starting a family. And for us, we decided that Wendy would stay home and raise the kids. She did some babysitting as well. But I went out and worked, and I was making a little over poverty wages at the time. Not great, but, you know, we got by. So we needed to buy a vehicle for our growing family. And they're in the front row, and I should have looked at them. We needed a vehicle, and so we used the last of our savings to buy a used car. Is a Toyota, so as a mechanic, like my son would say, Toyotas are a good car. But shortly after we bought the car, we had a loud knocking noise in the engine. I'm no mechanic, but I know a loud knocking noise in an engine is not a good thing. So we take it to a repair shop, and he says, you need to replace the engine. Well, that was $2,500 back then. I'm sure it's a lot more now. But $2,500 back then was like two and a half months of my wages, not including food, taxes, and the like. That was more than we could afford. We were out of money. So we did the only thing we could do, and really the only thing we should do. We prayed, and we asked God to do a miracle. We said, God, you created the universe. You created us, and we're far more complex than a car. We believe that you can fix this car. We wanted to be faithful to God with our finances, with our resources, with our lives. And so we prayed, God, would you do a miracle? Guess what happened? A miracle. God was faithful in that moment. And that is something that we have been able to look back at that time over the years and see God's faithfulness and trust Him in the moment. God does not always answer that way, right? We've all had times when we've cried out to God, please show up in this moment. Take away the pain and the suffering. But sometimes He's got a better plan. Sorry, I didn't think I was going to fall apart like this, but sometimes God saves us from the suffering and sometimes He doesn't. He's the ultimate. He knows the plan. He knows what's best for us in that. And He is always faithful. We have evidence of God's faithfulness in Scripture. We also see evidence of God's faithfulness in our lifetime. This evidence provides reason for us to have confident hope. We can have confident hope in the present as well. This is experiential. This is what we live in the moment. Isaiah 40, verses 27 to 31a talk more about this. God speaks to the people of Judah in a moment of doubt and frustration. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. We can relate to these moments, can't we? Those moments of doubt. Those moments of despair. Perhaps you've gone through seasons like that in your own life and felt, God, why are you hiding from me? Why is this happening to me? Where are you? Do you care? Do you have the power to act? The people of Israel thought that God was too great or too powerful, maybe, and that He didn't care for us normal plebeian people. We see this in our own lives, right? Sometimes we see people who are in a position of power and they can act on your behalf, but they choose not to. Why not? Sometimes we get discouraged and our eyes are diverted downward. We become distracted by all the negativity around us, right? It doesn't take long for us to fall into negative conversations. We take our eyes off Jesus and begin to grumble and complain. We feel distant from the Lord and experience a sense of being disregarded by my God. But Isaiah responds with a couple of questions in verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? These questions bring us back to reality and set the stage for the people of Judah and for us today to experience why we can have a sure hope in the Lord. Verses 28b to 31a. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired and weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Do you notice the present tense in this verse? The Lord is currently God. He is the Creator. His understanding is current and beyond our comprehension. He currently gives strength to the weary. He currently increases the power of the weak. Even those in their vitality currently get worn out and exhausted. The Lord, through Isaiah, reminds the people of Judah that He not only cared for them in the past, but also cares for them in the present. There's a sharp contrast between the boundless stamina, understanding, and power of God versus the feeble strength of humanity. And yet God doesn't gloat over His creation. He seeks to strengthen the weary and renew the strength of those who place their hope in Him. This goes far beyond physical limitations and far beyond physical endurance. The Lord here is in all capital letters. This text refers, the Lord in all capital letters refers to the Hebrew name for Yahweh, which means I am. That's a present tense. The personal name for the God of Israel is Yahweh, and it is used in the present tense. The Lord, or Yahweh, is eternally present with his people Israel, and likewise is eternally present with us here today. His relationship with us is both current and personal. This gives us hope for now and for the future. Our saving faith is built upon a confident hope and assurance that we see in Hebrews chapter 11 as well, which is known as the faith chapter. It is a list of heroes of the faith throughout Old Testament and New Testament times. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. This confident hope is based on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It is enough to deal with our sin problem. This hope or assurance of eternal life in God was given to us by our Lord. That hope sustains us in the here and now. God clearly worked in the nation of Israel thousands of years ago, but it is also encouraging to hear stories about how God is working right here, right now. A week and a half ago, we had a ministry leaders meeting here at the church. Some of you were here for that. And it was a time of encouragement to hear how God is working currently here at our church. His faithfulness is being demonstrated amongst us. We're seeing a kids' ministry that is growing, whether it be through birth or through people who have started coming to our church in recent time. We have a youth ministry that is really encouraging to hear how our youth are digging into God's Word. They're understanding the concepts of Scripture and how that applies when they go to school the next day or on their sports teams or in whatever they do. God is faithful to them. We have a young adults group that is growing and thriving, and they're right here in the front. Woot, woot. What's really awesome, too, is how God has knit this group together. They love to dive into Scripture together, but there's a sense of community there that is really encouraging. And this is a group that didn't even exist a few years ago. So we praise God for what he's doing in the present. And there are so many other ways that he is working, whether it be through Grief Share or the sports camp that's coming up or Legacy. The list goes on of different ministries that go on here, how God is present and being faithful in those situations, in those ministries. We look forward to how he will continue to do work in the future. So confident hope for the future. There is a sense of expectancy. Due to the evidence of God's faithfulness in the past and experience of his faithfulness in the present, we can be confident and expectant and have a reason to believe that he will continue to be faithful as he promises in the future. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This gives us identity. It gives us value. It gives us purpose. That the great God, the I Am, is present with us. He's personal. And our hope is securely fastened to him. The future tense of this verse demonstrates that God not only is faithful past and present, but will continue to be faithful in the future. We can have confidence in this as we wait expectantly for the future to unfold. We don't need to dread the future. God is in control. Isaiah 40:31 is written as poetry. It's not a scientific argument for the superhero benefits of hoping in the Lord. Verse 31 would look very different if we could actually soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. So don't put too much pressure on yourself and say, you know what, I get exhausted, so maybe I'm not trusting the Lord enough. Do you ever play that guilt trip on yourself? There are amazing benefits for putting our trust in the Lord, but running forever isn't one of them. So we get the theoretical side of things, that God is faithful and we can trust him with the future. We understand that we can have a confident hope and that what he says in Scripture will come true. We can wait expectantly for him to act. But why do I get weary? And honestly, sometimes I don't feel like I'm soaring over the hardships of life. So what is it that these similes mean, and how can I experience this in my life here and now? First, just a little side step here, let's talk about eagles. Eagles can soar effortlessly on thermals. These thermals are upward currents of warm air. An eagle can soar for up to 200 kilometers with hardly flapping their wings. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Is our life that easy? We can also talk about running. Apparently, the average person can run 5 kilometers with a pace of about 8 kilometers per hour. How many of us can keep that pace? These guys in the front, they'll show us up. For some of us, running was a lot easier a few decades ago. Also, walking. Walking at a moderate pace, most people can go about 5K an hour. So it's slower than running, but takes less effort. But still, we get tired out at some point. Ultimately, any analogy or simile falls short in explaining the things of God. We have to keep that in mind. But I'll try to capture the meaning of these similes, in two key components, one being the word hope, and the second being the phrase, renew their strength. Number one, hope is closely bound up in the word trust. As we hope or trust in the Lord, we place our confidence in him, not ourselves. We seek to live our lives in a way that reflects this confident hope and trust in God. We wait upon the Lord and trust him in the challenges of each new day. We trust the promises God made will come to pass. We look forward to being with him one day. In the meantime, we press on. Number two, the term renew their strength. What does this mean? It literally means changing one strength to another in Hebrew. It is like taking off one set of clothes and putting on a new set of clothes. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, we exchange our old life for a new one. Spiritually speaking, we no longer live on our own strength, but in the strength and the hope in Jesus. The similes in verse 31 are physical representations of a spiritual reality. I'll say that again. The similes in verse 31 are physical representations of a spiritual reality. Our human strength is limited and suffers the effects of living in a fallen, sin-filled world. But when we ask Jesus into our lives, we gain new strength. We are renewed spiritually, not physically. We still will die one day unless the Lord returns and calls us home. We can trust God to fulfill his promises to us in Scripture as we live expectantly awaiting his return. In a spiritual sense, we are eternally linked to our Savior. We are in a secure position with God, and therefore our new spirit will not become weary or faint. Our physical bodies will become weary, and emotionally we will feel drained, but our spirit is renewed continually. Verse 31 gives us confident hope for the future, a sense of expectancy. In conclusion, again, biblical hope is supported by God's faithfulness in the past, affects our vitality in the present, and gives us confidence for the future. Confident hope from the past is based on evidence. We see this in Scripture, the faithfulness of God. We see the faithfulness of God in our lives, in the lives of stories and of people around us. We have a confident hope for the present, which is experiential. We experience this. The Lord, the I Am, is eternally present with his people and is with us here today. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection gives me confident hope in the present that my sin problem has been dealt with and I'm saved by his grace. And thirdly, confident hope for the future is expectancy. I have confident hope that God will continue to be faithful in the future based on the evidence from the past and the experiences of the present. We have every reason to believe that God's faithfulness will continue and that his words will be fulfilled. This week, for some self-reflection, I want each one of us to maybe, even after the service today, when you go home, just spend some quiet time reflecting. How have I seen God act in the past? How do I see God working in the present? And what does God promise me for the future? I think if we ask these three questions, we'll be amazed at the faithfulness of God, past, present, and what we expect in the future. Matt, I call your team to come up and just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. God, you have been faithful all through Scripture. You have been faithful all through our lives. God, you have placed so many things in our path to bring us to where we are right here today. God, we thank you that you cared so much for us, that you sent your Son to die for us, that you proved yourself faithful in fulfilling your prophecies of Old Testament times. You came and redeemed for yourself a people. God, we are thankful that we get to live this day in that hope that we can trust in you, that God, we can look upon your faithfulness. And God, we know that we can stand secure in the future, whatever that may bring, because you have proven yourself faithful, and we can trust you completely. We pray this in your name.